Good evening, Winnipeg. Good evening, Manitoba. And for all those joining us live on our YouTube page and all of our social media platforms, we say good evening, universe, and welcome to the Illegal Curve post-game show. I'm your host, Drew Mindell, joined by Ezra Ginsberg. Dave Manuk is at the Manitoba Moose game, where last I checked, they were up 7-5. Is that right, Dave?
Correct.
7-5. So that's a high-scoring game at the Iceflex.
The first ever ice penalty shot goal in the history of the Iceflex for the AHL. And
that's not that many games, albeit, but at least it was a goal. It was probably the first ever attempt, I would imagine, as well. But we'll save that for the Moose post-game show that you're going to run there later on there, Dave. Anyways, the Winnipeg Jets 4-2 victors tonight in Montreal to start their road trip. You know, gentlemen, you know, I thought it was a pretty clean effort from the Winnipeg Jets. I thought it was a pretty good effort from the Jets. You know, it's a 3-1 game after 20 minutes. The Habs get what I'm going to call a fluky second goal to make it interesting for the third. The Jets were, you know, the last, you know, sort of 5-6 minutes of that game where you would think it's crunch time and the Montreal Canadiens need to do whatever they can in their power to, you know, get that equalizer. The Jets tilted the ice in their favor and, you know, obviously get the empty net goal to make it 4-2. But I thought a very neat effort from the Winnipeg Jets playing against a Montreal Canadiens team on the second half of a back-to-back.
The Jets were pretty badly outshot for the majority of this game, guys. And, you know, sometimes all it takes is, you know, three goals and then you just hang on to the win. But the Jets had some good chances, past the first period. You know, just looking at the third period, I mean, Pierre-Luc Dubois had just an absolutely, you know, point blank chance on Jake Allen after Nikolaj Ehlers threw it on net. And then obviously Andrew Kopp had, you know, the shorthanded breakaway. When you look at what Paul Maurice did there, moving Andrew Kopp up to the, I don't think Kopp's chance was actually shorthanded, it was a breakaway chance regardless. And Jake Allen made a nice save. But as soon as Maurice moved Kopp up to that top line, basically flip-flopping Ehlers and Kopp, it almost had immediate results because, you know, Drew mentions, you know, it was a neat win. And yeah, I mean, for the most part, you know, the Jets played, you know, fairly well defensively, even though the Canadiens had 35 plus shots on net. But, you know, it was a fluky goal, Drew. You can call it whatever you want, but it was absolutely a fluky goal, just a gimme to Paul Byron. But, you know, Canadiens, second game of a back-to-back, guys. It always seems like, regardless of the team the Jets are playing, if it's the Jets in the second game of a back-to-back or the other team, it always seems like something weird ends up happening because, you know, in that first period with Morrissey and Deneau scoring within the first, minute and 40 seconds of the game, you're thinking like this game's going to have 8 or 9 goals. And then all of a sudden, you know, it looked like the Jets were going to go into the third period with a 2-goal lead. And then, you know, Byron, as we talked about, got that fluky goal. So it wasn't the prettiest game, you know, for the Jets. And we know that, you know, both teams are missing one of their star players, right? Of course, Gallagher, Montreal, and then we know Wheeler was out, but I loved what Matty Perreault did in this game. And, you know, not just the pass to Josh Morrissey, but I thought he was, you know, one of the Jets' top players all night long. So, a really nice road victory. That's the way you want to kick off a road trip for sure.
You know, you talk about the shots on goal, Ezzy, and the final shots on goal are 38-27 for the Habs. And they're, you know, after 40 minutes, it was 29-15. And the knock on Montreal, or not the knock, but the comment about Montreal is they shoot from everywhere. And I thought that was emblematic of the first two periods, because of those 29 shots, most of them were from the outside. I didn't think a lot of them were dangerous to speak of. I mean, obviously they got the two goals within the first, 40 minutes of the game. But, you know, for the most part, I thought most of their action was set out to the outside, that they weren't coming from the slot area. There were a couple of goal mouth scrambles, certainly, where Connor Hellebuck had to be big and strong. But I thought if you looked at this game strictly by the shots on goal, I thought that would be misleading, because I don't believe that Montreal really outchanced the Jets by a sizable margin, not nearly as sizable margin as it was the shots on goal after 40 minutes.
Yeah, no, and to further illustrate that, Drew, you're right. We always like to, you know, give a shout out to our friends Natural Statric, and the high danger chances were actually 9-8 in favor of the Jets. I mean, sometimes that changes. So that is exactly what happened, Drew. Even though the Canadians badly outshot the Jets, especially through the first two periods, it was a little bit from the outside. I actually thought, you know, one of the best chances was Nick Suzuki. It's not going to show up on a highlight reel, but Connor Hellebuck just made a really nice blocker save in tight, and Hellebuck was really solid. And I also thought Allen was solid, even though, you know, he gives up those three goals in the first period. After that, he obviously settled in and didn't allow any other goals. And, you know, I thought it was interesting because we know Carey Price is out right now, right? And you have that, you know, option of going to Caden Primo, but we know Caden Primo's a rookie in the NHL, right? Dave knows, you know, he's had success in the American Hockey League. He's a very young goalie, you know, potential goalie of the future. But you got to think that Dominique Ducharme, you know, was a little bit more hesitant, Dave, to put Caden Primo in. And it turned out, you know, that it was the right decision to keep Allen in.
Sure. And then, sorry, Dave, I was going to say Dennis referenced that on the broadcast, saying that any thought to replacing Jake Allen, who had that really struggle, you know, a rough first period, especially that Nikolai Ehlers goal, I that shouldn't go in. I mean, as talented as Ehlers is, that shouldn't go in. But he stayed with Jake Allen, and it certainly, you know, it paid off in that he didn't give up any goals after the first period, Dave.
Yeah, I mean, look, it wasn't the prettiest of wins, but what do we always say? The key is that you want to, especially having lost Blake Wheeler, you're going to have a jumble. This is the first time the lines have been changed up in this significant a way in some time. Mm-hmm. So from a Jets perspective, you know, it wasn't the prettiest game. Nobody's going to say they painted a Picasso from tonight's victory, but you banked two more clean points over the Montreal Canadiens, and you're further kind of enmeshing yourself along with the Toronto Maple Leafs and the Edmonton Oilers is in the top three spots. So, you know, again, it's funny. I feel like a broken record. Connor Hellebuck is going to be Connor Hellebuck. He's going to be the goalie. You don't apologize for having a good goaltender. That's just part of the reality of your team, and you just keep on rolling.
Yeah, and you know, I thought it was a full team effort, and we've seen a lot of that this year from the Jets, where they're not reliant only on their best players. And I thought, you know, it took their top six, you know, the early Ehlers goal notwithstanding, I thought it took the top six a little bit of time to get into the flow of this game, and I didn't think it necessarily would work, but that the third period line juggle that Paul Maurice made, you know, moving Scheifele up and then switching with Dubois and Connor and Kopp, and really sort of taking that whole top six and rearranging it, certainly worked out well for the Winnipeg Jets. And, you know, we saw some good zone time that we didn't necessarily see from the top six before that. You know, Jansen Harkins comes into the lineup. He doesn't skip a beat. You know, he doesn't look like a guy who hasn't played in weeks and months. I thought he fit very nicely on that Jets fourth line, a fourth line that continued to get some good ice time and good had a good contribution to the effort. And what can you say about the third line? I mean, Appleton, Lowry, and Perreault. I mean, you know, Perreault sets up Josh Morrissey for the opening goal, you know, 18 seconds into the game. You know, that you know, the beauty of the Jets' bottom six right now is that it seems like any which way you want to match them up, they're going to succeed. And that's a good advantage, something that the Winnipeg Jets have not really had for a long time, especially from that fourth line forward group, Ezzy.
Yeah, absolutely. No, you're making good points there, Drew. Like, all of the focus was on the top six here, right? With Blake Wheeler out, we kind of expected Andrew Kopp to be the one that moved up to the second line. We obviously, you know, weren't sure that he'd be moved up to the first line. But as we talked about, after that first period, the Jets were struggling to create offense, right? So obviously that move paid dividends. So we'll wait and see what happens if you know, Kopp stays up on that line, or, you know, it doesn't really matter at this point, right? Because Paul Maurice is just trying to find that right mix. And with the Jets in a solid playoff position, you know, he has the luxury of doing that. So, you know, I thought it was kind of telling that, you know, Trevor Lewis and Josh Morrissey were the goal scorers, because both of those guys obviously haven't been putting the puck in the net much this year. So, you know, I loved the pass from Neil Pionk. Beautiful. I thought that was just, it was threading the needle, right? And give Trevor Lewis credit, right? Like his stick, he has to be, I think it was Victor Mete, if I'm not mistaken, that was right. on Lewis. And Mete was with him. Like, it's not like, you know, Mete was asleep and he wasn't, you know, covering his man. So really nice goal. You know, Matty Perreault, we know he can basically play on any line similar to Andrew Kopp. Also, Mason Appleton, it's almost like, you know, Blake Wheeler comes out of the lineup and, you know, it's Blake Wheeler Jr. in his spot on the power play. I thought Mason Appleton looked really good, right? So, I mean, they're both, you know, big American players. So, I mean, yeah, like there's a lot of things to like about this game. The middle period obviously wasn't great and maybe the Jets didn't generate enough offense. But, you know, we know the Oilers won tonight. The Canadians are really the only team that's catching the top three teams in the North Division. So I think overall you're pretty satisfied with this game. And one other thing I wanted to mention, boys, some people are talking about, you know, Logan Stanley and Corey Perry. I don't think I've seen Corey Perry afraid of someone like that, especially, you know, a 22-year-old. But when you're 6'7", you know, well over 200 pounds, Perry didn't want any of that. And I realized that, you know, maybe, you know, Stanley should have picked his spot better, but I mean, that was a cross check. And no, I don't think any of us have any problem with that.
I don't have a problem with that at all. I mean, Logan Stanley sees, you know, his teammate get cross-checked, you know, pretty clean cross-check in the sense that there's no confusion about it. There's no, it could have been something else. It was a Corey Perry, you know, he's made his career based on, you know, sort of cross-checks like that. And so Logan Stanley goes over and he defends his teammate. And sure, it takes away a Jets power play, but the power play didn't really do much today. You know, it at least didn't succeed. It looked better in that second in that third period power play when they had, they didn't score, but it looked better. Logan Stanley comes over. He, you know, that's the Jets need a little bit of that, a little bit of the, yep. you know, the physicality and a little bit of an intimidation factor that they've really missed since Bufflin left. And if Logan Stanley is going to be that guy who, you know, oh shoot, you know, I might have to look around to see who's on the ice, make sure he's not on the ice. If I'm going to, you know, if an opponent's going to take liberties with my teammates, he comes over there. He tells Corey Perry, you know, the what's what. And you know, I'll use the word turtled. If this is Corey Perry 5 years ago, when he was, you know, more in his prime, I think he doesn't think twice about going with Logan Stanley there. He saw Stanley. He thought of himself as Logan. You know, Corey Perry realized what his birth certificate says, and he said, "No, thank you. I'm gonna you know, beg off on this one."
Yeah, he could have turned into a punching bag there for Logan Stanley. Dave knows, like, it's one thing to, you know, say that he's 6'7". It's like Stanley's a big boy. Like, he is a big boy, and I think he's developing a reputation around the NHL, even though this is only his first year, that, you know, he's a guy that can chuck the knuckles. It's obviously something we don't see much anymore with, you know, fighting way down from, you know, previous years. But, yeah, I mean, you got to like that, standing up for Tucker Poolman, who isn't a small man either, Dave. But it goes back to kind of what we were talking about, you know, either last postgame show or a couple of postgame shows. We know the four teams that are making the playoffs in the North Division. So when the Jets are playing the Habs or they're playing the Leafs or the Oilers, you know that you're going to face one of these teams in the first round, right? Like, so it's not like, you know, previous years where there's a little bit more uncertainty who you're going to face in the first round. You know, it's going to be one of those three teams. And as the season progresses, even though these games won't have meaning in terms of, you know, being do or die for a playoff spot, they're obviously going to have, you know, seeding implications, but these teams don't like each other. They faced each other, you know, six times, seven times, eight times, and they don't want the other team to get the better of them. So I think that was just one of those cases where Logan Stanley said, okay, I'm here. I saw what you did there. And if you want to go, I'm willing.
I think the key is that's something that endears him to his teammates. And I think fans like it, but I think more so, and Paul Maurice has referenced this before, that's a function of, look, nobody, you can say whatever you want about fighting, you might not like it, but at the end of the day, the Jets have a guy who is going to defend. And one thing about this Jets team, they're not big, they're not tough, they're not physical. And it's funny because people who don't watch the Jets still describe this team like it's a 2017-18 team. Yeah. No, it's true. I hear it all the time. People talk about, you know, when people around the league who don't watch the Jets on the regular, you know, regularly, I should say, they reference this big, heavy team. I think to myself, what team are you watching? Because it isn't the Winnipeg Jets of 2021. Now, I'm not saying that they're lightweights, but they're not big, physical. They're not that team that they were 3 years ago. And fine, that's just the reality of what they are. But what I'm saying is a guy like Logan Stanley, who is a big boy and can handle himself, you know, he endears himself to his teammates. They like that stuff. And they, you know, again, to Drew's point, you know, this is what they don't have a lot of in the lineup. So what he's doing is he's showing that he can play, you know, it's, if you're just big and you can't do anything, you're not going to stick. But if you're showing that you can do what he's been able to do offensively and defensively and add that element, which is something that this team doesn't have a lot of, you're doing a lot to cementing yourself in the lineup and making yourself an everyday NHLer and making it difficult for Paul Maurice to remove you from this lineup.
You're 100% right, Dave, and that's just, you're right. I mean, Logan Stanley, I think it's unlikely that he's ever going to become an offensive dynamo. You know, maybe he can chip in a little bit more offense, but that's not his game right now. That's not what the Jets need right now. But what they do need, and what we've spoken about, we saw it last year in the bubble against Calgary. You know, the Flames, you know, pushed the Jets around a little bit last year, and they beat up the Jets a little bit, not even, you know, considering the Mark Scheifele injury. Just, I thought the Jets the Flames physicality wore out the Jets, particularly on the back end. Now with Stanley, they're going to be a little bit more hesitant of the opposition to be physical against the Jets. To your point about the Jets not typically being a very physical team, they, as long as you have a little bit of that edge, or just a couple of the guys who are going to put that, you know, doubt in the back of your mind, it goes a long way. And, you know, Adam Lowry is still a physical player. He can be that guy sort of among the forward group. And then you put Stanley back there, you know, as the physical guy on your back end. And Tucker Poolman is physical as well. But Stanley, with his height, is more imposing than Tucker Poolman is. And I think you saw that more than ever before tonight, because like we said, Corey Perry usually isn't one to shy away from anything, and he shied away big time against Logan Stanley tonight. And that's, you know, Logan Stanley has come in and he's been solid for the Jets. And if you had said at the beginning of the year, as we've talked about ad nauseum, that Logan Stanley and Mason Appleton would contribute to the levels that they've contributed this season, you would have thought that it's probably a lost year for the Jets. Instead, these guys have been, you know, found money to some extent, and that's why the Jets are firmly playoff bound as we sit here on the 8th of April.
Yeah, and, you know, just one more point on Stanley. Obviously a guy that, you know, deserves to be talked about a lot this year. He's been the nicest surprise for the Jets. Is you don't have a player right now in the Jets, let's say, you know, roster, on the Jets roster, I guess I should say, that's kind of knocking at the door, right? Like Jansen Harkins has been, you know, champion at the bit to get back into the lineup. And obviously, you know, it took the Wheeler injury for him to get into the lineup. But, you know, nobody's talking about Sammy Niku right now, right? Like nobody's saying that, you know, he deserves to be in the lineup. And that's purely based on the way Stanley has played. Obviously, Nate Beaulieu's injury also factors in. And it goes back to what we were talking about on the Saturday show, guys. I think because of that Beaulieu injury, you know, Chevy might be a little bit more inclined to now pick up a left side defenseman as opposed to a right side defenseman, even though I think we all agreed that there's a chance that Chevy brings in a couple of defensemen. But you're absolutely right, Drew. I mean, you know, Stanley's physicality, and I also think Derek Forbert's a guy that's got some physicality, and Nate Thompson is also a guy that, even though, you know, he's towards the end of his career, you know, he's a guy that plays that rugged game. He can drop the gloves if you know, he needs to, even though he'd prefer Nick Ehlers do that. But, yeah, I mean, I was going to also say, like, how many teams guys are, you know, purely heavy physical, right? Like, you think back to, you know, those LA Kings teams, you know, 2012, 2014, or you think back to, you know, maybe a heavier team like the Boston Bruins when they won the Stanley Cup. Like, now you have maybe two or three guys on your team that can drop the gloves. Maybe you have one or two power forwards, a couple of physical defensemen, but the way the game is played now, there just aren't those heavy teams like you used to see. So I agree, to have a guy like Logan Stanley back there, a guy that, you know, can skate and can contribute a little bit offensively, but he's also a guy that, you know, can definitely handle himself and throw his weight around.
Yeah.
I just want to do a quick interlude. I know this is a death post game, but the Moose game is now officially over. The Manitoba Moose, since people focus here as well on the Jets and the Moose. The Moose won 8-5 tonight in over Belleville. Crazy game. Lots of first goals, first penalty shot. And Cole Keller from Altona, Manitoba, picked up his first ever AHL win.
He came in to replace Mikael Burden.
He replaced Mikael Burden to start the second period. And I think he allowed two goals in the win. So a big win for him. a lot for his confidence because he gave up a goal on his first shot. Didn't look like it was going to go too well for Cole Keller, but he's making everybody in Altona very happy tonight, picking up his first victory. Manitoba Kid picking it up, and it was a good win for the Manitoba Moose.
And, they gave him a snowman, right? Like they put up a snowman for him.
And, you know, lots of contributions from the prospects. Declan Chisholm had two assists. Cole Perfetti had two assists. Skylar McKenzie had two goals. Johnny Kovacevic had two assists. So a lot of Jets prospects getting involved and developing and growing here at the AHL level.
Dave, I'm pretty sure you had an assist tonight.
I did get an assist as well. I did.
Worth pointing out, as it's being talked about in the chat, David Gustafson and Dylan Sandberg, both out of the lineup due to injury. Is that right?
Yeah, I confirmed that today. There people were speculating because they didn't play last night that they were being held out. But I've confirmed that both are dealing with injury. And there's some thought they may be back this weekend, but there's definitely no shenanigans. They are both dealing with injuries. So, again, like I said, just to clear that up, because there was some speculation that
it was trade deadline related.
Yeah, that they were just being held out, but they are definitely not healthy scratches. So,
okay,
put that to bed.
So there's Dave with the Manitoba Moose update. A good night for the Jets. They're victors 4-2 over the Montreal Canadiens, and the Moose victors at the Iceplex 8-5. Certainly not a dull game against the Belleville Senators. Did I get their opponent right?
You did.
Okay, excellent. I wasn't even 100% sure on that one. So good night for the Manitoba-based hockey teams. We remind you, welcome. If you're just joining us, you're listening to the Illegal Curve post-game show. If you're new to here on our YouTube page, make sure you hit the subscribe button, ring the bell right now. You know, get alerted each and every time we go live. We go live after every Winnipeg Jets game, and we go live Saturday morning, 9 a.m. with the flagship Illegal Curve hockey show. So we welcome all of you for joining us on this, Thursday evening. Let me ask you guys this. We saw the switch in the forward lines for the third period, where Andrew Kopp moved up to play with Mark Scheifele and Kyle Connor. Nick Ehlers, Pierre-Luc Dubois, and Paul Stastny finished the game together. Do you think that's going to be the forward groupings when they do battle again on Saturday, or do you think they're going to go back to how Paul Maurice had it to start the first period of tonight's game?
I'd probably lean towards Kopp staying on that top line. Like, I don't think it really matters in terms of I don't think that there's – I guess the way I would put it, guys, is I think either one of those players – I think they're different players, but I don't think that there's a real difference. Like, I don't think one of those players necessarily changes the line completely. Like, we know Nikolai Ehlers of the two is more of a play driver. So that's kind of how I see, you know, that move materializing. But I think the reason why I think there's a good chance that Kopp stays up on that top line is because they got the results, right? Like, we saw it. And the empty net goal is not what I'm talking about. We saw the breakaway chance, and we saw some, you know, really good scoring chances on both lines after that. I think it was towards the end of the second period, if I'm not mistaken, or to start the third period. It wasn't until at least the second period that Paul Maurice made that change. But, you know, Andrew Kopp has played really well. What is it, 8 goals now in 12 games? Like, he deserves to be on that top line. And if he starts the game against the Canadiens and finishes the game on the top line, we always know that Paul Maurice can go back to Ehlers, Connor, and Scheifele. But, you know, I like what Connor brings to that line, and I like what Ehlers brings to the Stastny-Dubois line. So regardless of what Paul Maurice does there, I have confidence in both of those lines producing.
Well, and I think to Ezzie's point that's what Paul Maurice has talked about. He literally prefaced his comments this morning by saying that, you know, what you see, you know, in morning skate or what you saw in practice yesterday isn't necessarily going to be reflective of what you see at the end of this road trip. And he's talked about that idea. He's talked about that idea of, you know, tinkering. And we talked about it, you know, a number of times already, this idea that you've got a lot of time before the playoffs start. And you're going to want to get these guys, I really think, if you say anything, Paul Maurice has learned a lesson. He's learned the lesson that you can't be reliant on one line or two lines in this league, and because things happen all the time. You know, you lose Blake Wheeler hasn't missed more than 6 games since the Jets came back, and now will miss 5, right? So you never know what's going to happen in the NHL. And I think Paul Maurice is cognizant of that, learned a valuable, painful lesson in the bubble last year. And he knows that, look, I can't afford to have one line play together the entire season. It's ideal, I guess, in some way, but at the same time, you'd rather know that, you know, Andrew Kopp can go on that first line and play with those guys. Nikolai Ehlers can play with Stasny and Dubois, and there's not going to be a drop-off. And again, your third line, that the Kopp, well, we know Kopp, Lowry, Appleton, and Perreault, they've got a lot of familiarity together. They played, what, 11 games together between, I think, game 4 and game 17 of the season. So those guys are all familiar with each other as well. So it's not a function of that great difficulty. And Harkins has played with Thompson and Lewis. So you've got, like, a lot of familiarity, even though they haven't necessarily played together recently, those groupings. And again, like I said, it's one thing that I think we're going to see throughout the course of this road trip is that idea of flipping and flopping and getting guys comfortable playing with each other. And I don't think anyone should take anything negative from it, because I think it's just going to be a benefit for the Jets when the playoffs come around.
Yeah, and I just wanted to throw this in there, Drew. Like, I mean, I thought Ehlers was one of the Jets' best forwards, and you know, based on what I was saying before, I mean, Dubois and Stastny, you know, they were fine tonight. They had a solid game. Like, I mean, obviously they didn't, you know, produce on the score sheet, but you know, I think what you're doing there is you're just spreading the wealth out a little bit, right? Like, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about on last Saturday's show about, you know, should, you know, that second line, you know, be changed up a little bit, you know, with the obvious one being Andrew Kopp moving up to that line, and then maybe Paul Stastny moving down to the third line and bumping Adam Lowry down to the fourth line, right? So I think we were having that conversation before Wheeler went down with an injury. So, I mean, I like to see Ehlers there on that second line. Obviously, you know, adds more speed. You know, we know he can drive plays. So I think it's going to be really interesting to see what happens here, guys, on this road trip, because I think we expect, you know, the Jets to win the majority of their games here, especially with the games against the Ottawa Senators. But I think it's just going to be interesting to see, like, what kind of production you get from your top six, because obviously, you know, the production has been coming more so from Scheifele, Ehlers, and Connor, as opposed to, you know, it's been a long day, boys. Up early with the kiddos today, but I think, you know, you're going to see, I think Kopp and Ehlers flip-flop a little bit. You might even see Stastny at center. We'll see what happens, but you obviously don't have, you know, as much of a luxury because Wheeler's out of the lineup. So it kind of limits you a little bit in what you can do.
Sure. You know, and it's worth, you know, it's a very, very small sample size. So I'm putting that caveat on everything. But the Ehlers, Dubois, Stastny line that played, you know, 3 minutes and 18 seconds together at 5-on-5, you know, in that third period, you know, had a Corsi 4 of 100%, four shots against, zero shots against, or four shots for, zero shots against. So tiny sample size. You can't read much into it. But the truth is, with the Jets' top six talent, and even with the way their bottom six is working right now, most line matchups are going to be favorable. Yeah. And that is depth that we really haven't seen from this Winnipeg Jets team. You know, especially that fourth line depth. You look at time on ice, at 5-on-5 in tonight's game, the lowest Jets player at time on ice at 5-on-5 was Jansen Harkins at 8 minutes and 49 seconds. And then Nate Thompson at 8:52 and Trevor Lewis at 8:58. You know, no Jets player, including the defense, you know, played 20 minutes tonight. The most ice time during the game at 5-on-5 is what I'm talking about here. Tucker Pullman, 18:48 at 5-on-5. He led all Jets skaters in 5-on-5 ice time. So, you know, this is the balance that we're talking about, and we've been talking about it a lot for a while, that it's just, you know, something we're not used to really seeing from this Winnipeg Jets team.
Yeah, and, you know, obviously, you know, Jansen Harkins, this is his first game back in well over a month, right? So as this road trip progresses, you expect Harkins to hopefully get, you know, closer to, you know, 11 minutes, 12 minutes, something like that. But, mm-hmm. you know, I think Dave's point from earlier, you know, really resonates with me, because I think what you're seeing here, guys, is, again, going back to what we kind of talked about at the beginning of the post-game show, like, the Jets are a slam dunk to be a playoff team. What are they at, 97%? I'm obviously joking.
It's got to be higher.
Yeah, it's probably 99%, but, you know, the reason why I'm joking that up, for people that are you know, regular listeners of the and viewers of the post-game show, know that we've already basically kind of
they are now at 98.5%.
Yeah, there you go. So I think they're pretty good right now to get into the playoffs. But you know, what Dave was saying is that, you know, you've seen Pierre-Luc Dubois already center Nikolaj Ehlers and Kyle Connor. So I think the point that's important here is that when you move Nick Ehlers down to play with Pierre-Luc Dubois, all you're doing is giving them more reps, right? Like, you're giving them more playing time together. And, you know, if a guy like Mason Appleton even moves up a little bit, then, you know, well, you're moving Andrew Kopp back down to that third line. He's got a little familiarity with that. Like, moving Matt Perreault up to the third line, maybe, you know, at a certain point on this road trip, you decide to move him down and you elevate Jansen Harkins, right, Dave? Because then when you get into the playoffs, you know, maybe you might have to move Jansen Harkins up to play with, you know, whether it's Adam Lowry and Mason Appleton, right? So, like, you know that the coaching staff of the Jets has the playoffs, you know, in, you know, on the horizon. They're thinking about that. They're trying to, you know, tinker a little bit, you know, get these players, these forwards, especially playing together. Because obviously with the defense, it's a little bit more set at this point. I don't think we're expecting anything, you know, massive to happen on this road trip. Obviously, you know, the big unknown is if the Jets acquire a defenseman prior to the trade deadline. But yeah, Kopp and Ehlers, you know, regardless of, you know, which line they're on, I think this is all about just kind of with looking towards the playoffs with an eye on that.
Well, you know, it's funny you mentioned Ezzie the trade deadline upcoming, and, you know, Kevin Cheveldayoff is in a good position, you know, as a potential buyer, because he's not desperate. The Jets defense, given what it is, he doesn't, he's not going to be forced into making a desperation trade because of where the Jets currently are and the way they've been playing. Sure, they could upgrade the back end, but I don't think that he's going. I mean, the idea that Samberg or Heinola are going to be traded by this Jets team is to me a non-starter. I just can't foresee what trade is out there at this point in time that would require Chevy to consider making that deal.
I agree with you, but I put Heinola in a different. I think Heinola is untouchable. I don't think Samberg is untouchable. I know Samberg is a good young defenseman, but I do think that there's a little bit of a disparity in skill there.
Well, and to follow up with Ezzie, I mean, Nashville pumped Detroit 7-1 tonight. So I think the only team that you were thinking about was that you'd even talk about a trade and where you're going to get rid of one of your young prospects would have been with Nashville. So since that's no longer happening, I mean, the truth is, you know, again, David Savard didn't play for Columbus. He was held out of the lineup for trade protection, asset protection, whatever they're calling it now. So you've got a guy like David Savard. He's not going to cost you one of your top prospects. He's a UFA.
No.
And he's the guy I think the Jets should be going for.
Yeah.
I know this is a post-game show, not a trade preview show. That is something we'll talk about on Saturday. But at the same time, again, like I said, that's not something we're focused on now. But I think Savard is more that target, and that's not costing you one of your top prospects.
Let's go to Jets head coach Paul Maurice. He's addressing the media in Montreal following tonight's Jets victory.
Thanks, Gregor. Hey, Paul. What were you seeing or what were you not seeing that led to that line shakeup?
Well, the first part was waiting to get a comfort level with Andrew on the right side. So he hasn't played before here. And you're not 100% sure what you get with that. I had lots of confidence in it, as I said before, in his reads, but handling the puck on that side of the ice is a big change for him. I thought it was a safe place to start Andrew, but I thought we were, with the lines the way I had them, there was kind of too much of the same thing almost on each line. I like where Nikolaj Ehlers was playing. I liked him an awful lot. So it certainly wasn't a demotion. But that line, Connor Scheifele and Nikolaj, had scored a goal, but they were on for about five, you know, 4A rush chances against. So I thought they needed a different kind of defensive component based on the match. So once we got through that, you know, the first period and a half, I was very comfortable with where Andrew Kopp's game was on his offside, and that's why the change happened.
Go next to Jason Bell from the Winnipeg Free Press. Go ahead, Jason.
Well, you're missing your captain, obviously, but you get a goal, a rare goal for a defenseman. You get a goal from the fourth line. You know, your goaltender is sharp. I mean, does that warm your heart as a coach when it's kind of a win by committee?
Yeah, important shifts by, and then this has happened for a while now, the Thompson's line. Doing all the things right, big penalty kills tonight. so that you have a bunch of people step up in Blake's absence and perform well. And it wouldn't be necessarily the guys that you might think. So, I mean, clearly Connor's been so good for us since he's been here. But we've got some really good additions to our team that have put us in a strong position, maybe a stronger position to weather certain injuries.
We'll go next to Ken Weave from Sportsnet. Go ahead, Weaver.
Obviously, the shot clock is what it is, but and you know they're a high volume team, but high danger chances were fairly even. How did you feel about the quality for both teams generated tonight?
Yeah, I think that that's accurate. We liked our first, didn't care for our second, and I liked the way the third played itself out. I don't know that every one of those shots were shots. I think there were some shot attempts that were counted, which is fine. They had some flurries around the net, and then after that, there wasn't a whole lot. We didn't care for our second period. I think a bunch of things that we did that we hopefully won't do Saturday night. So I thought it was a flat game. And on the road, sometimes that's a good thing.
We're next to Scott Billick from the Winnipeg Sun. Go ahead, Scott.
Hey, Paul, I'm going to squeeze two in here. One, are you going to ask the league to look at the boards behind Connor Hellebuck in Montreal there? And the second one, more importantly, Matthew Perreault. I mean, he's been your Swiss Army knife now for quite a long time. He has, I mean, the backhand pass to Josh Morrissey, 18 seconds in, obviously. Probably the highlight of the game in terms of, you know, the finesse. But what has he given to your team so much?
That idea, right, that he could play up and down your lineup. What's really interesting about Matty is we never played him, because Andrew Kopp had always played with Adam Lauer, we'd never played him left wing on that line. And intuitively, you know, when you have a bit of a shutdown line, Matty wouldn't be the first guy that you think about. He's a good pro, right? He's like Thompson and Lewis in that mix. And I think playing with those two guys has kind of brought that out in him as well. But earlier in the year when they ran his line, they were good there. And it kind of, you know, opened a door for him a little bit. Here that when Blake goes out, we go right back to that comfort level. And he's got lots of energy, right? He loves the game, loves playing. I know that sounds funny. Why wouldn't everybody love the game? But he has got a real passion for it. And it's great on the bench, great energy in the room. Always special in Montreal, I guess, when you can get a point for him. But he's been great for us.
Go next to Paul Friesen from the Sun. Go ahead, Paul.
Thanks, Gregor. Paul, have you got a diagnosis yet on Blake? And would it be fair to say you're still trying to figure out how to work your top two lines without him?
Yeah, so he's been diagnosed with a concussion. So he's in the protocol now. And I don't think I was done with the playing with the lines. Even with Blake in our lineup, we're still looking for that right mix. But, I've got a set of 12 that if everybody's healthy that I think we're going to get to. And then I want to see some other things tonight. Like I said before, like I like Nikolai Ehlers' game. I thought he had a lot of jump and there was just too much of that idea on that line. And they need, Mark and Kyle play together, I do think they need a bit of a defensive component with them. Andrew brought that. And I like the idea of the speed of Nikolai with Dubois. And Stastny, that's something that we'll look at as well. So we'll still play with that group a little bit here, and some of it is the matchup of the other team. We stay away from certain matchup most of the game. They went harder after it later, and it helped, I think, when Andrew was there. So we're still learning about the team.
Just a couple more for Coach. We'll go next to Jamie Thomas from 680 CGOB Jets Radio. Go, Jamie.
Hey, Paul, usually we're talking about Mark Scheifele's offensive game, but in particular in the third period, what do you think of his effort in the defense end of the rink?
I thought that that he and Andrew got it. There's a chemistry there. I mean, I think in the empty net goal, did a really nice job on the battles on the wall under the puck, and it's been a good play to get the puck out. So the defensive part of his game in the third was much stronger than in the first two. And some of that's just structure, right? Like, so we know that with Nikolai and KC, that'll be dynamic. They scored off the rush and they'll get those kind of rush chances, but they were kind of up against it in terms of what they gave up. And I think, you know, this is such a five-man game hockey-wise. It's so great that you parts of your game will excel and with certain kinds of players. So I thought that that's what Andrew did for that line.
And final question to Carter Brooks from Game On. Go ahead, Carter.
Hey, Coach. I'd be interested in hearing your thoughts on the check delivered by Corey Perry on Dylan DeMello. And secondly, Logan Stanley's response, just the willingness to step in, even though he's going up against a guy with much more experience.
Yeah, I thought, you know, the ref missed it because there was heavy traffic kind of going up the wall, so he didn't see it or get out of the way and missed it. I don't usually have much to say about certain most hits that happen in the game. Happens real fast, and I think I do think that the players are the best monitors of those things, and they can sort those things out far better than coaches or referees can. Logan's a big, powerful man, and as he gets more and more confident, nobody ever likes seeing a guy that size close in on him to rectify a situation. So he's a good partner to play with.
Thanks very much, Coach.
Keeping Winnipeg laughing for over 30 years. Rumors, Canada's longest-running comedy club. Bringing you the biggest laughs from the best comedians on the planet. Jerry Seinfeld, Chris Rock, Jon Stewart, Dennis Miller, Brad Garrett, the greats, and all the up-and-comers too. When was the last time you laughed out loud? Make it a great night out with friends, or book your office or birthday party. Even a fundraising event at Rumors. Get all the details and dates on upcoming shows at rumorscomedyclub.com.
Hey, Drew.
Ezzy, whoa, what a smile!
Yeah, I got my crowns done at Linden Market Dental Center, and they whiten my teeth.
I see.
They're so bright that every time I smile, they go...
We have hockey tonight. Do you have a mouth guard to protect those pearly whites?
I sure do.
Whoa, they even ting through the mouth guard!
Linden Market Dental Center covers all your dental needs, from restorative to cosmetic dentistry, and will fit you with a sports guard for that active lifestyle. 877 Waverly, see lindenmarketdental.com.
Hi, it's Drew from Illegal Curve here. Selling your home can be stressful, but it wasn't for me. Thanks to my friends at Zappia Group Realty, they made the process so easy. My home sold within 48 hours and with multiple offers. Zappia Group Realty took care of everything with their exquisite customer service and attention to detail. If you want to sell your home for more in less time, get started by talking to Frank and Mauro Zappia of Zappia Group Realty. Online at zappiagroup.com.
While you can't always count on your team winning, nor your favorite player scoring, one thing you can always count on is Bernstein's Deli. They've expanded their services because the team at Bernstein's Deli wants to accommodate your needs and keep you safe. Open Tuesday to Saturday from 9 a.m. to 6 p.m. to serve you. Head to your phone, in-store or online to shop for groceries or order meals from the restaurant, like the legendary Illegal Curve Sandwich. Just go to bernsteinsdeli.com.
So you're a pizza person, you married a wing person, but somehow your kids are salad people. You can't pick your fam, but you can pick your BP meal deal, starting from $18.99 for takeout or delivery at bostonpizza.com.
Welcome back to the Illegal Curve post-game show. Drew Mandel, Ezra Ginsberg, Dave Minuk at the Iceplex, where the Moose were victors 8-5 tonight over the Belleville Senators, the Jets victors 4-2 tonight over the Montreal Canadiens. The big news, I guess, out of the Paul Maurice's post-game availability there, not really a surprise because I think that's what everyone was expecting the news to be. Blake Wheeler, Winnipeg Jets captain, officially diagnosed with the concussion as a result of the Brady Tkachuk swinging flying elbow right hit and square in the jaw on Monday night. The Jets captain now in concussion protocol, out indefinitely. We don't expect to see him for the entirety of this road trip, and there certainly is no reason, not that the Jets ever would rush a player back who's in concussion protocol, but now there's definitely no reason why the Jets won't be extra cautious with their captain and with your playoff odds being at 98% or whatever we said it was a couple minutes ago.
Yeah, and to the best of knowledge, and unless you guys know otherwise, I think this is the first career concussion for Blake Wheeler, unless he suffered one really early in his career or, you know, college. But, you know, we
I can't remember one in the pro levels. I would agree with yeah. that.
And, you know, we knew that there was a good chance because, you know, Palmer Reese mentioned that, you know, there was a chance that it was a concussion. But obviously now you have to start, you know, thinking that this could be more long term just because there's so much uncertainty with concussions, right? Like it could be a week, it could be a month, it could be, you know, much longer. So obviously, you know, we're hopeful that, you know, Blake Wheeler is able to return this season. And you know, while that game was happening, guys, you know, on Monday night, I thought it was going to be a little bit more serious. Like everybody saw the mark on Blake Wheeler's face, but just the way it happened, and you know, Brady Tkachuk's a pretty big guy too. Obviously, you know, he's going to put more weight on, get a little closer to, you know, what Keith is weighing in at these days. But you know,
I don't think he's going to be that big.
Yeah, I don't even think I'm not sure that high.
I'm not sure Keith's in game shape right now, there, buddy.
He's definitely
he's more,
not.
He's more like he's in Ginsburg shape.
I was thinking more Ginsburg
shape than game shape.
Yeah, he's in that eating steaks and you know, enjoying the good life part of his life. But
a lot of heavy red wines for Keith Tkachuk.
Yes, but you know, in all seriousness, getting back to, you know, Wheeler, I mean, we know his importance to this team, and we know there are other players on this team that can, you know, step up in his absence. But you know, when you hear that concussion, which, you know, Drew, for as long as we've been doing the Legal Curve Hockey Show, you know, he's been calling it brain damage. So at this point, it's all about, you know, just taking care of yourself. And like you said, Drew, I don't think they would ever rush him back, but especially with where the Jets are, you know, in the playoff picture, we know they're going to the playoffs. So you do have, you know, that luxury that, you know that you're not depending on him that much to get those wins to get you into the playoffs. But yeah, that was definitely a bit of a bombshell there for Maurice.
Yeah, especially yesterday when he wasn't on the ice for practice yesterday, Dave, most everyone assumed it was, you know, something, precautionary, you know, a Veterans Day, but then it turned out to be obviously more serious, you know, because he, you know, that's the thing with concussions, though. You know, you never know when the impact and when the effects are going to show themselves. Yeah. So even though he finished the game on Monday and he seemed no worse for wear after the hit on Monday, clearly by Tuesday and Wednesday, you know, that's what Paul Maurice said, that by Tuesday he wasn't feeling well, and then by Wednesday he really wasn't feeling well. Yeah. And that's obviously when the Jets medical staff, you know, got more heavily involved.
Yeah, and I think he's 100% right. Why? There's no need to rush him. You want to make sure, you know, first of all, Blake Wheeler is he's an older player. You definitely don't want to take any chances. Mm-hmm. And again, we talked about it. This is a guy who's been remarkably, you know, it's unbelievable. Like even when he was, we didn't know what it was exactly. I was looking at his games missed, right? And the one game he missed in the last 6 years or whatever it was the final game of that 2017-18 season where they held him out just so he'd be fresh for the playoffs, not even because of an injury. And he's missed, like I said, he's missed five total since the Jets have been back due to injury. And three were in one season, two were in another. So he's played a lot of 82, and although he played the 1 year where it was 48 when the lockout year. So he's been remarkably durable for the Winnipeg Jets team. And again, you're seeing what depth can provide now for an organization when you have the guys who can step up and play for Blake Wheeler in that role. You know, the power play is going to look differently without Blake Wheeler on it. You know, he's such a prominent, everything kind of goes through Blake Wheeler. So now you're needing other guys to step up. And Paul Maurice talked about that, I thought, today in his availability. He said, you know, we don't have our captain, but we're going to have other guys step up and take leadership roles, right? And that's the Adam Lowry's, the Mark Scheifele's, the Josh Morrissey's. It's incumbent on them to become, you know, the leader in the room. And Pierre-Luc Dubois, I thought his comments were interesting this morning in Montreal. And he talked about what Blake Wheeler means to this team from a leadership perspective, right? From the things he says on the ice, but also the things he says off the ice. And I think, again, it's not as if these guys aren't other leaders on the team, but he is the leader. And it sounds a little bizarre to say that, but it's the reality of these types of organizations. And so when he's not there, when his presence isn't there, especially a presence that's always been around for the most part, it's an opportunity for these other people to step up. Like I said, Morrissey, Lowry, Kopp, Scheifele, to step up and kind of assume that mantle. And again, the first game on the road, not a great game. I saw Connor Hellebuyck, Murad from The Athletic, had a funny quote from Connor Hellebuyck talking about his two-pack stack. And he goes, if I'm having to make a two-pack stack, it's not by design. it's more because it's a kind of a last-ditch effort. But look, Connor Hellebuyck was good again tonight, which you come to expect from him. And you'll want to have a better effort from the Jets next game because, again, you've got the 2 points. That's good. But you want to make sure you have a bit better of an all-around effort in the next contest.
I think you'll see a better effort from the Montreal Canadiens as well on Saturday. I mean, this Montreal Canadiens team doesn't lose that many games in regulation. The least, or I guess only next to Toronto, they have the fewest regulation losses in the North Division. You know, we know the Jets now, if I'm not mistaken, have beaten them, I believe it's 4 or 5 times, and 3 of those, I believe, have come in overtime. This is the Jets' second victory in regulation against the Habs. So, you know, not an easy team to beat in regulation, and the Jets, you know, look, it wasn't perfect. It wasn't necessarily that pretty, but it was effective, and that's really what counts more than anything else. We remind everybody, well, first of all, mention that you're listening to the Illegal Curve post-game show. We're live on YouTube and all of our social media platforms. If you're new, if you haven't yet, hit the subscribe button. Do so right now. Smash the subscribe button. Ring the bell. Make sure you give us a thumbs up and leave some comments. We want to hear what you like. You know, if you have things you dislike about the post-game show, if they're constructive criticism, we'll hear about that as well. Leave us all those and subscribe to the podcast while you're at it as well. Dave, what are you pointing at?
I was pointing at you. You said
things
they might not like. So I figured
that's fair. I can accept that. Things they may not like about the post-game show, yes, I would be front and center of things that most people don't like about Illegal Curve, but that's a separate issue. I think actually I'm the number one thing Ezzy dislikes about Illegal Curve, but that's a separate issue altogether.
That's we'll deal not with true.
That in our that internal counseling. That is
definitely
sessions.
Not true.
Want to make mention one more time. We're going to wrap up here in a couple minutes. Kenny and Rennie, Ken Weeb, Sean Reynolds, the post-game show. They're going to start up in a few minutes' time, so we encourage everybody to head over there. Tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock Winnipeg time, Kraft Hockeyville, St. Adolph, yes. Manitoba. They need your votes. So tomorrow, starting at 8 o'clock until Saturday at 4 o'clock, and you can vote as many times as you want. Go to crafthockeyville.ca. Cast your vote for our friends in St. Adolph, Manitoba, one of the final 4 teams in this year's Kraft Hockeyville. So we want St. Adolph to bring home the title of Kraft Hockeyville. So be sure to go to crafthockeyville.ca. Cast your vote for St. Adolph starting tomorrow at 8 o'clock. Do it on the hour, every hour, or even on the half hour, every half hour from now until Saturday.
We'll have at links. 4 o'clock. We'll have links on our Twitter. We're gonna mention it on our Instagram.
There you go.
You know, it'd be huge if a small community in Manitoba could bring this home. It'll mean so much for them if people can go out and vote and they can win. And what an awesome opportunity for them as a community. So let's try and support them and bring the win here to Winnipeg. Sorry, to Manitoba, I should say.
There you go. Any final thoughts from either of you guys? And until we tell everybody that we'll see them on Saturday morning at 9 for the Illegal Curve Hockey Show.
You know, as Dave said, smash that vote button for St. Adolph for Kraft Hockeyville 2021. Hopefully they're able to take the crown and get the quarter mil for arena upgrades and that NHL game. Just looking forward to, you know, this next meeting between the Jets and Habs, looking forward to seeing, you know, if Andrew Kopp stays up on that top line. And overall, boys, just looking forward to that trade deadline. It seems eerily quiet with only, what do we have, 4 days to go, 5 days to go before the trade deadline. Obviously, we're going to be all over it on Saturday's Illegal Curve Hockey Show, but
that's when the trades go down, Ezzy, on Saturday.
Absolutely, yeah. And hopefully they leave a couple trades to Saturday. And for James Duthie's sake, hopefully they leave a couple to Monday as well. But I get the feeling, boys, that we might see a pretty big trade here coming up in the next couple days. But again, hopefully, you know, Chevy got my text and he'll save it for Saturday.
That's very, yes. You know how often Chevy likes to listen to you. And I saw somebody in the comments said the Jets always wait till Saturdays to make their trades, right when in the heart of the Illegal Curve Hockey Show. So we always do appreciate them, coordinating with us on that front. Dave, what's the website where everybody can find their latest Winnipeg Jets news, audio, all the information they need about the Jets and the Manitoba Moose?
It's a little site called illegalcurve.com. I'll be here at the Iceplex writing a post-game recap from tonight's Moose game. The Moose were victorious 8-5 over the Belleville Senators. Lots of contributions from the prospects, a lot of Jets prospects, as well as a very rare penalty shot goal, which was quite exciting. So, and the first win for Altona's Cole Keller, so that was exciting as well. And then we have, so you'll have a Jets recap, a Moose recap, all the latest Jets news on a little site called IllegalCurve.com.
From Altona to St. Adolph to the Iceplex to River Heights to Crescentwood and everywhere in between, this has been the Illegal Curve Hockey post-game show. We remind everybody, more post-game talk coming up with our buddies Ken Wiebe and Sean Reynolds. You can check out their post-game show. For Ezra Ginsberg, for Dave Minuk, I'm your host, Drew Mindell. Until Saturday at 9 a.m., we wish you good night and good luck, and thanks for watching the Illegal Curve post-game show.